It's no coincidence that as I get older, the things I'm looking for, and in some cases things I forgot I was looking for, turn up in strange places. Finding my phone in the freezer or a spatula baked into a loaf of cinnamon quick bread are thankfully not routine events, but they aren't as unusual as I'd like. Interesting words similarly turn up in unexpected places, like today's word, ineffable, I-N-E-F-F-A-B-L-E, which I've seen many times before, but stood out when I came across it in a tweet by Lionel Media, a leading something in QAnon conspiracy circles. If you have to ask what QAnon is, you probably don't want to know, but I'll put a few explanatory links on the website to this potty theory of pizza, pedophiles, and politics. Lionel Media wrote, "There are simply no words to explicate the profound and ineffable honor of meeting at real Donald Trump in the Tabernacle of Liberty, the Oval Office." This is actually a precisely fitting use of the word. Ineffable, meaning beyond description, inexpressible, or even unspeakable, has traditionally been used in a religious context, often to refer to God's grace or gifts. So media's invocation of ineffability in a tabernacle, albeit a rather non-traditional oval-shaped one, makes for a rare bit of intelligibility amidst what is otherwise an unrelenting stream of lunacy. But what about the word ineffable itself? Visually, the root appears to be F, E-F-F. But except as a cheeky stand-in for that most versatile of curses, there's no such word. Which isn't to say this non-word isn't useful. As Abby Steinberg recounts in Running the Books, The Adventures of an Accidental Prison Librarian, during a debate with a fellow hustler, he scored major points when he said, "With all due and undue respect, the difference between me and you is the following. You are nonsensical, while I, my brother, am ineffable. In case you ain't mastered your diction, I'll break that down for you. Ineffable, meaning I cannot and will not be effed with." Relatedly, to say something is effable, as in able to be described, doesn't make sense to most listeners, overshadowed by effable's vivid, slangy meaning, or as Douglas Adams put it in Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, "Let us think the unthinkable, let us do the undoable, let us prepare to grapple with the ineffable itself and see if we may not eff it after all." Ineffable is an example of an unpaired word, or a word that appears as if it should have a related opposite but doesn't, or at least not one in common use. Consider words like nonchalant, has anyone ever been chalant, insipid, I guess I'd rather be sipid, and inept, I'm totally ept. Ineffable is one of those, its opposite so archaic it might as well not be in use. According to the indispensable online etymological dictionary in the OED, ineffable comes to us from the Latin effabilis, capable of being expressed, which is derived from effari, or to speak out, which comes from fari, to say or to speak. Ultimately, this traces back to the Proto-Indo-European root ba, B-H-A, which meant to speak. Other derivations from that P-I-E root include words as various as aphasia, cacophony, fandango, nefarious, and a pair sure to please some listeners, professor and prophet. Digging into some of these anciently related words leads to fascinating and sometimes retrospectively obvious connections. For instance, the unpaired word infant, as far as I know, we don't become funts as we grow, comes from the combination of the prefix in, which is a negation, plus fans, a form of our friend fari, or to speak. So infant literally means one who cannot speak. Similarly, fate goes back to fari as well, but in this case followed quite the opposite path, becoming fatum, or destiny, literally that which was spoken by the gods. So ineffable emerged as a word of the inexpressibility of, or related to, God or the divine. One of the earliest examples is found in Tyndale's 1526 Bible, "Thanks be unto God for his ineffable gift." Over the next few centuries, the use of ineffable broadened. No longer limited to that originating in the divine and unable to be expressed, ineffable came also to be applied to that which was not to be or shouldn't be expressed, which is how we see it today, at least as often as in the religious context. For a brief time in the 19th century, the adjective ineffable was nounified in a significantly less dignified manner, being used to describe journalists or swells who were not to be named. The Illustrated London News describes two white-hatted and peg-topped ineffables. For a short time, the once divine term was even used to refer to trousers, calling them ineffables in the same way we still hear about undergarments being referred to as unmentionables. William Corey wrote in an 1867 journal entry that he was crossing a stream with shoes off and ineffables tucked up, which might be wildly misinterpreted today. While I intend to wage a likely single-handed campaign to bring back ineffable scanties, the world of words continues to use it as a more elegant alternative to inexpressible and a less laden one than unspeakable. In The Infinities, John Banville illuminates us. "When I use the word father, say, or him, or for that matter me, I do so only for convenience. These denotations are so loose in the context, so crude, as to be almost meaningless. Almost, but not quite. They shed a certain light, feeble as it is. They are a kind of penumbra, one might say, surrounding and testifying to the presence of an ineffable entity. But what a darkling chasm there lies between that glimmer and the speck it would illuminate. In a strange way, at least as far as style goes, ineffable has become almost mundane, all too often a shorthand for telling rather than showing, which makes logical sense but undermines the irrational alchemy, the weird magic of writing as art. But deft hands can still make deep work of potentially worn-out words, sometimes with a dose of meta-humor, as Donald Bartlemy demonstrates in his story Lightning. Bartlemy writes, "His great-grandfather, as it happened, had also been struck by lightning, blasted from the seat of a farm wagon in Brittany in 1909. In his piece, Connors described the experience as ineffable, using a word he had loathed and despised his whole life long, spoke of lightning as grace, and went so far as to mention the descent of the dove. Penfield, without a moment's hesitation, cut the whole paragraph, saying, correctly, that the folks reader didn't like the funny stuff. There's something tantalizing and tormenting about the unsayable and the unspeakable that proves to be catnip for writers, philosophers, artists, and musicians, to say nothing of legions of more normal people, nonetheless awake and wide-eyed in the middle of the night as an ineffable dream fades away. Perhaps that is as it should be. As Theodore Adorno said of philosophy, though he could have been speaking about creativity, generosity, and simple human flourishing, if philosophy can be defined at all, it is an effort to express things one cannot speak about." For more on the effable parts of the ineffable, including some more rich quotations and some cat poetry, or to listen to this or any other Cathexic Word show, point your favorite browser to cathexic.com/KUAC.